Welcome back in hour number three of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5. The game, Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, John Glennon, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Tuesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. We'll have John Glennon in studio for the next hour from SI.com and from NHL.com as well, discussing all things Tennessee Titans and all things Nashville Predators as well. We'll take your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Mr. Glennon, how are you?
What's going on? How are you guys?
We're great. Appreciate you taking time to be with us today.
Absolutely. Enjoyed it. A little early for me to be up and traveling around, but, you know, got the job done, and I even stopped at a yard sale on the way over.
Wow.
Bought some wonderful things.
Did you barter with people?
Did you get that at the yard sale, your extra keyboard?
No, this is pristine. This is one of the top quality. They don't sell these things at yard sales, pal.
That's right.
This is top of the line.
This is high quality stuff. Joe Rex was very familiar with the extra keyboard.
I may or may not have been my fault. So. I kind of miss it, and I'm really enjoying John's. So you got your mic resting on the top of your laptop. This is really impressive.
Yeah, we're not done yet. We got to get the notebook out.
We got a whole lot of stuff we got to do.
Yeah, we do. We got a lot of Virginia Tech football to talk today.
yes, we do.
Let's talk about those Hokies, baby.
Hokie high.
So, John, let's start on the Titans. We were discussing this earlier in the show when it comes to Bud Dupree, because obviously, the Titans are paying him a ton of money. He came in last year. He was coming off the ACL injury and was hurt for a lot of the year, was kind of regaining that strength in the knee. And I think you saw it toward the end of the season last year. He was impactful. He started to be productive, and he was really good, I thought, in the Cincinnati game. Year two for Bud Dupree with the contract that he has. What should expectations be for him in your mind as he heads into this year, presumably healthy and ready to go?
Yeah, you know, I would agree with you for the most part that we did see a little bit of a surge towards the end of the season for Bud Dupree, and that's encouraging because, you know, when we get right down to it here, as you said, this guy signed a 5-year, $82 million deal. So, you know, you're expecting some numbers at some point. And, you know, I think it's understandable. You know, Bud Dupree felt a little of those expectations last year, the big contract, wanted to live up to it. Pushed himself a little too hard and got out there a little bit too early. But, you know, if you look at his four previous seasons before last year, he averaged about 8 sacks and about 11 tackles for loss each of those four seasons. And those are the reasons he got that monster contract from the Titans in the first place. So I think if he puts up those kind of numbers again, I think the Titans are pretty happy with that because, again, you know, you're looking at a Titans team that is not completely dependent on him to get to the quarterback. We saw how good they were in terms of the pass rush, especially towards the latter half of last season. So if he can get back to the Bud Dupree that earned that contract, those kind of numbers, 8 sacks, 11 tackles for loss, and a fair amount of tackles as well, I think the Titans will be pleased with that.
How many players have you seen in your expansive career who have gotten paid and then have just fallen off? Because people bring up Chris Johnson as a, right?
They bring up Haynesworth.
And they bring up Haynesworth. Yep. Anybody else come to mind?
I'm sure if I thought about it long enough, they would. But, I mean, you know, it does happen, you know, from time to time. And there's no question. And you know, I think what we've seen in Titans general manager John Robinson is a guy who is – you know, he's willing more often than not to kind of take those risks. You know, he's willing to say, okay, Bud Dupree had that torn ACL, but you're going to come back even after you get paid. A Julio Jones not getting the big money necessary from Tennessee, but you had the injury, you're going to be able to come back and play as well. So, you know, I would say John Robinson has come up on the better side more often than not when he takes risks on guys with injury. But, you know, eventually, you know, and Julio Jones is a good example, you're going to run into some guys that don't bounce back from those injuries, especially when they're older. You look at Bud Dupree, I think he's 29 now. So he's kind of right on that line. And another one for the Titans, too, Robert Woods also. Yeah. And again, we're not talking about a guy who just got huge money from the Titans either. But still, this is a guy that's 30 years old, coming off a knee injury, so you're taking a little bit of risk, we'll have to see how that pans out.
Do you worry about that at all with Harold Landry? Because I watch that guy play We read the snap count share off earlier. I mean, he played 94% of the snaps 2 years ago, 90% last year. He's always available, and I know it's the NFL, and that could change quickly in terms of your availability, but like at his age and with the history of production and availability that he has, I don't worry about Harold Landry just disappearing now that he's got the big money. Now, I think it's fair to question whether or not he's truly a 12-sack type guy every year, but I don't worry about him just mailing it in now that he's got the payday.
It doesn't strike me that way. You know, I thought it was pretty interesting when we asked Harold Landry, you know, what his offseason was kind of like. And he said, you know, I went to the Pro Bowl and kind of used that as my vacation. And ever since then, I've been kind of grinding. And, you know, if you're a Titans fan, I think you gotta love hearing that. You know, here's a guy who just got the big money, you know, the $87 million deal, you know, and he's not spending his off season, you know, traversing the globe or buying a couple of yachts and throwing extravagant parties that we know of. Anyway,
I mean, we weren't invited.
If so, yeah, it was not the case. You know, that seems like more of an Isaiah Wilson kind of thing, but we don't need to go down that path. But yeah, I mean, Harold Landry, from what we have seen so far, you know, that work ethic seems to be there, that durability seems to be there, and you know, as Mike Vrabel loves to talk about, the availability has been there as well.
I just think again, there are examples, and so you're right, it happens. But I think that's such an overblown narrative. We went through a bunch of guys on this team who've gotten paid in the John Robinson era. I didn't see anybody, oh, wow, came back the next year and didn't, I mean, every, you know. I mean, how do you perform at this level if you aren't driven by more than money?
Right, and I think, you know, if you're a good personnel person, and hopefully, you know, the Titans have that in John Robinson and his executives, you know, you have to factor that in, the guy's personality, the player's personality. You have to say, okay, is this the kind of guy who, if I give $80 million over 4 or 5 years, is he going to still be playing, you know, top of his game, you know, week in and week out? And certainly I think the Titans have been around a guy like Harold Landry for long enough that, you know, if anyone should know him pretty well at this point, I think the Titans have a pretty good idea of what they're getting in Harold Landry.
John Glennon from SI.com on with us here on Robbie and Rex Road. So, John, we talked about this yesterday, and I'm interested to get your thoughts on it. As you look at the Jeffrey Simmons situation, and he's still got 2 years left on his deal. If the Titans really wanted to play hardball with him, they've got 3 years left of contractual control when you factor in the franchise tag as well. Would you make it a priority right now, if you're John Robinson and the Titans, to work on a new deal with Jeffrey Simmons? Or are you waiting maybe another year, maybe another 2 years? How would you handle this if you're John Robinson? Is Jeffrey Simmons the type of player where you maybe buck the traditional trend and start things now rather than a year from now?
It is. He is. You know, there are exceptions to every rule, and certainly, you know, it's unusual, not only for the Titans, but, you know, basically in the league to kind of do that extension, you know, with 2 years remaining on the deal. But when you look at what Jeffrey Simmons provides, what he has become, and the upside for what he still has, he's the kind of guy I want to keep happy on that team. You know, and we saw how quickly things turned south with A.J. Brown from, hey, everything's going smoothly, you know, we're looking for a new long-term contract. And really, in what seemed like the matter of a few weeks, it was then, we're not talking, you know, A.J. Brown wants to leave, you know, he's asking for an exorbitant sum of money. So, you know, with that maybe in the back of the mind of John Robinson and some of the other Titans executives, I think, yes, you make that exception and you work towards a new deal. And honestly, I think that's what we saw at the mini camp when Jeffrey Simmons was there but not participating. You got the sense, nobody ever really said it exactly. Nobody really clarified it completely.
Shockingly.
Right, shockingly. But, you know, you got the sense that maybe there was, as Mike Vrabel said, a plan in place for Jeffrey Simmons, but maybe off the field that plan was, we're working towards a new deal. So, Jeffrey, hey, can you show a little good faith? Can you at least show up to the mini camp? Even if you're not going to be out on the field and risk an injury, can you be here, show some leadership, show some conditioning, you know, be in the meeting rooms, that kind of thing? And if you do that, you know, we're probably going to work and get you that money before the season starts. So I think, yeah, Robbie, you said, is he the kind of guy you make an exception for? Yes, in a word.
So do you think that, and I agree with you, do you think that that was more the Titans on the front end saying, let's do this, or do you think Simmons' team, which didn't include an agent at the time, or not officially, was like, he's not going to be on the field, then they negotiate? I mean, it's one of the two, right? It's some kind of conversation
Yeah, one of the two, or maybe it's a little both ways, too.
A little bit of both.
You know, I think that maybe Jeffrey Simmons gives sort of the heads up, look, you know, Aaron Donald just got $1 zillion. I'm not Aaron Donald, but, you know, I'm going to be expecting to get paid too based on the fact that I have far outperformed my rookie contract so far. Here's your heads up. I'm going to be looking for a new deal. You know, and again, as I say, the Titans say, okay, we understand. We're willing to at least work with you on that. But basically, don't be A.J. Brown on us. Don't scrub your social media account. Don't start getting on Twitter and raising Cain. Maybe have a little patience with us. Show up at the mini camp, even if you're not participating. You know, show a little good faith in us, and eventually something gets worked out.
I mean, it must have been Simmons' decision to have a presser, though, right? Like that. Like, there's no way.
You would think so. Yeah. Yeah.
He wanted to tell people, like, he's not disgruntled, right? I mean, that's...
Yeah, which is, yeah, I guess is the best way we could phrase what he said. And again, very good of Jeffrey Simmons to get up there and talk. I give props to him, but it was not something that cleared the air,
no.
I don't think, on what the situation was. You know, he sort of talked about, I'm not talking about my contract, but if I was... My contract team would talk about it. And
I
there
don't
is
want
no
to hear
team.
About it, but I am in control of them.
Yeah, exactly. But he almost said, you know, and they'll tell me. They'll let me know if there's a new contract situation. And you kind of wanted to say, Jeffrey, I'm pretty sure it works the other way. I think you tell the team, go get me a new contract.
That's right,
is that the way it works?
John Glenner from SI.com, NHL.com, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road for the next hour. We'll continue to take your thoughts on the Titans, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. We'll continue that conversation with John, including his thoughts on the Treylon Burke situation coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic, John Glennon here with us for the next 45 minutes here on Robbie and Rex Road from SI.com and from NHL.com as well. We're talking Titans. John, I'm interested to get your thoughts on the Treylon Burke situation. So we're through minicamp now, and his availability on the field has not been very consistent, and he's obviously... If the Titans offense is going to reach its full potential this year, he's going to have to be a part of it. He's going to have to be a big part of it, in my opinion. What's your concern level at this point with Treylon Burks and the way that this whole situation has played out thus far?
I've certainly got a middle level of concern, I would say. You know, am I reaching the full-blown panic stage, hitting panic button? No, but at the same time, I just don't think you can kind of sweep it under the rug when your first-round draft pick, who's going to come in with high expectations because you've traded away A.J. Brown, went from a partial participant during a lot of the OTAs to completely absent on the field at minicamp. You know, I think for a couple reasons there are concerns. One, obviously, we know that he is dealing with asthma, and... You know, this is not a great area for people who are dealing with asthma. You know, being on a football field in May and June in the height of allergy season with poor air quality is not a good situation for him. You know, we certainly get the sense that he didn't come in at peak condition either. I think that's part of the problem also. But another thing, you know, that is, I think, a concern also – you know, obviously for any rookie coming in, I think that first off season is so important. You're learning the NFL. You're learning your first offense. But also for Treylon Burks, you know, he played in kind of a bit of a unique way at Arkansas in that he was basically more of a slot guy, you know, which is kind of unusual considering he's, you know, 6'3", 225, 230 pounds. But he played probably 70 or 75% of his snaps in the slot. And that's not going to be the case, I don't believe, in the NFL either. So he is almost learning a new position in some respects, assuming he is going to be like, you know, on the outside, be an X type receiver. So that's again, in addition to just learning, you know, your NFL and your NFL offense for this first time, he's kind of learning a new position too. So all those things, you know, converge, if you will, and you say, yeah, this is a little bit of a concern. And as I've said before, it's one of those things where it's a story until it's not a story. If Treylon Burks comes out on the first day of training camp and he's fine and he's a full participant, you know, a lot of the concerns go away. But if it's a, you know, if it's a ramp up situation or if there are any struggles at all, you know, again, you add that to the fact that he has already missed so much time. It's a middle level concern, I would say.
Talking asthma, excuse making Nashville media once again, huh?
Have you
ever dunked on Kaharsky, by the way?
The last time we chatted, I think at the mini camp on that, he was still very much holding to the fact that it was at least as much conditioning. And
well, that's a big departure from him telling us, no, it has nothing to do with anything, he's just out of shape.
Yeah, right. And I'm not positive. I try to read as much of everybody, including PK, as I can. I'm not positive that he has written a lot about the asthma portion of Treylon Burks' struggles to date. But you know, I can't say that with 100% clarity. I think we do know that there was a little bit more open-mindedness and from some of the other folks out of Titans camp in regards to, you know, it really would have been hard to believe that Treylon Burks went from NFL combine, you know, to his first rookie offseason and fell off the conditioning wagon so badly that he couldn't get through the first drill. Conditioning seems a little bit of a stretch, you know, that's why. And the fact that we saw the inhaler right away, that immediately put up the asthma flag, in my opinion.
Well, you wrote, you did the other way. You wrote extensively. You wrote a huge piece about asthma. So what's your takeaway from that?
Are telling me. I wrote a huge piece. Wow, here, like a small piece, right, for you is about what? Like 5,000 words or so?
Yeah, that's just diarrhea of the keyboard. Yeah.
And I've got two keyboards.
That's true. Right. Yeah.
You know.
Double
well prepared.
That's right. We've been talking so much about asthma that I figured it was a good idea. Turns out none of us are medical experts. I talked to a professor, Dr. Peebles at Vanderbilt University. He was very kind to offer his time, and another doctor from the Asthma and Allergy Center nationwide. And I thought it was very interesting some of the things they had to say. You know, bottom line for both is that, you know, asthma is something that, as we all know, can be controlled. And obviously there are NFL players that are playing with asthma today. At the same time, you're kind of trying to figure out why the asthma has been kicking in now for Treylon Burks when apparently it didn't really rear its head much in college. And, you know, kind of the theories that maybe they floated. One, you know, is simply the fact that as much as we think the environments and atmospheres are different in Fayetteville or are the same in Fayetteville and Nashville, that really it's not necessarily, when you talk about the amount of allergens in the air, Nashville is probably one of the biggest in the country in terms of people suffering from that. And those are the kinds of things that trigger asthma. And then, you know, another theory I thought that was interesting too is, you know, Treylon Burks in college and even if you go back to high school, he's never on the football field exerting himself heavily in months like May and June, when the allergies are at their highest. You know, he's got spring football in college, and then of course the fall season practices start a little bit later when the allergy season has dissipated a bit. So, you know, he was going right into the direct storm of Nashville allergy. And again, you know, we're speculating on how much this impacts him. But, I did think it was very interesting some of the theories they proposed on how the asthma might be affecting him, and also the fact that generally you can get this thing under control. But I do have to say, and do you agree, Joe, you know, did you think it was unusual at all? I kind of did, that maybe instead of seeing as the weeks progressed here in the offseason, as things might got better and that you might see him more on the field, it went the other direction. You know, we saw him less. And again, we're not getting any information from the Titans.
Yeah, you have a tweaked ankle.
Yeah, that's right. So it's speculation. But, that did strike me as a little bit unusual.
And not great.
No, not great at all. So, John, as we sit here today, obviously this offense, you got Tim Kelly coming in, A.J. Brown's out. There's a lot of question marks with this offense heading into the year. As they sit here today with minicamp behind us, training camp around the corner, what do you make of this group that the Titans have on offense, and what are maybe one or two things that have caught your eye thus far?
Well, you know, the one thing that catches my eye, if you're looking for some encouragement as a Titans fan regarding the offense, I continue to be impressed, again, despite the fact that I am not a medical expert, by the recovery of Robert Woods from a torn ACL in November. And we have seen just how long it can take players to recover from an ACL, and even when they think they're on the proper schedule, they still have to wait until they're really at full strength. But boy, Robert Woods to me really looked like he was doing a lot of good things during the offseason in terms of running and cutting. You know, we saw him jump for catches, come down on that left leg, and seemingly no problem. So that to me is encouraging. You know, I like the tight end situation compared to last year. I think Austin Hooper, will provide a better target than what the Titans had last year. And if they can find a way to use the rookie Chigo Conquo as a tight end, I think he really kind of brings kind of a dynamic presence. He's got that speed at tight end. What we do know is the Titans have to find a way to get him to block Chigo Conquo, because if you don't block as a tight end in this offense, you're not getting on the field in the first place. So those are some encouraging things. And honestly, you know, again, this is off season. This is basically passing drills. Ryan Tannehill, I thought, was very sharp in these drills. And that's something we didn't always say last year in the off season. There were some times last year, you know, training camp too, that he struggled. So I thought he looked sharp, and I just thought everything about Tannehill, kind of the energy, sort of the vocal leadership and so forth, I thought that was an encouraging sign as well. We can get to the downside.
Real fast from Jared Stillman for next segment. Horrendous take from Glennon. Titans have Simmons next 3 years at $11.6 million per season, so I'm just going to give you $25 to $28 million to keep you happy, end quote. Don't respond now.
We'll get to that coming up next. A horrendous take by Glennon, according to Stillman.
Boom.
I've never said that about Stillman. I can't imagine that
would ever be the case with him. We'll take your thoughts on the Titans, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. John Glennon from SI.com and NHL.com in studio with us until 9 o'clock. We'll also get his thoughts on the Nashville Predators coming up as well. So 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. 1025. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 1025, The Game.
Oh, he's not answering?
Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 1025, 1063, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezvik, John Glennon here with you on Robbie and Rex Road. Glennon here with us for the next 30 minutes, taking your thoughts on the Titans and the Predators, 615-737-1025. We'll get to the Predators coming up here in just a few minutes. John Glennon, would you like to respond to the criticism levied via text message through Joe Rex Road from Jared Stillman at you that your take that the Titans should sign Jeffrey Simmons right now to a new contract is absurd,
horrible.
Yeah, it's disappointing to me, because generally I try to live my life by Jared Stillman's advice, and I'm surprised that he would criticize me on this, because I look so highly to him. But nonetheless, I think exceptions have to be made, for certain players. And Jared, if you're out there listening, if you think Jeffrey Simmons is just going to play through the next few contract years at this rate, without starting to sit out and become, increasingly frustrated with the team, well, I think he got another thing coming. And you're right, he's under contract, and you do get the heavy fines in training camp. But nonetheless, is that really going to add up when you're eventually going to sign an $80 million deal or whatever? Those fines aren't really going to bother you too much. And if Jeffrey Simmons isn't happy, and if he is not practicing, if worse comes to worse, and if he wasn't playing, and we're looking way down the road, how do you think Titans community is going to react to that? Do you think they're probably going to say, that's a good point. We really need Jeffrey to hold off and wait for his next contract. He really hasn't done much for this team. No. The Titans community is going to say, we need to get Jeffrey Simmons back out there. And the Titans defense is an entirely different defense, without Jeffrey Simmons in the middle of it. So he's got plenty of leverage himself.
Yeah, and there's not a guy in the locker room. Not that this necessarily means a ton, but it means something. There's not a guy in the locker room who would look at this as anything but a complete blunder by John Robinson.
Sure.
And be very upset about it. Look, if you make a deal right now with Jeffrey Simmons, and again, I think by the end of the deal, you could be pretty happy with what you're paying him. That's another part here. He's a special situation,
And
you have to have your finger on the pulse of your team and your roster if you're a GM, and I'd say you're a pretty bad GM if you look at it the way Jared does.
So with that,
I don't think John Robinson's a bad GM. I think Jared would be.
So with that in mind, you mentioned maybe some negatives that have stood out to you so far with the offensive part of this team. What kind of stands out to you from that regard as they head into training camp?
I would say concerns and question marks on the offense. There are still plenty of them at this point, and. Let's face it, the offense wasn't particularly good last year, and certainly there are plenty of injuries that had a lot to do with it. But at the same time, you're looking at an offense that wasn't too good and now does not have A.J. Brown. And though everyone seems to like what Robert Woods is doing so far, as I just mentioned, it remains to be seen whether he is 100%. Where are you with Treylon Burks at this point? As we said, that first rookie offseason is so important, and he's already missed a chunk of it at this point. And then you look at the line, and then there are two spots still on that line where you cannot say for sure that the Titans have starters right now, at left guard and a right tackle. And, when you go to right tackle, I like the fact that they are putting Dylan Radins in a focus on that one spot. I think that can only help him instead of the constant cross-training back and forth that we saw last year. At least they're saying, Dylan Radins, you're going to do this just about every day. Learn this. Be very good at this. But what we don't know is even if he's focusing on the one position, is he good enough to be a starter? And I don't think, just based on what we saw last year, I don't think you can be overconfident about that. He played basically one game, and he held up for himself pretty well. But if you look at the games after that, it wasn't as if the Titans said, we got to get this guy in the lineup some way. In the playoff game, he was inactive. There were eight or nine guys that were active offensive line. Dylan Radins was not one of them. So are you sure he's your guy? And then at left guard, you got Aaron Brewer, you got Jamarco Jones kind of probably battling right now. Honestly, I'm not sure if the Titans starting left guard is on the roster at this point. Everybody loves, and understandably so, Aaron Brewer. He's the underdog. He's a smaller guy. He's the scrapper. He's come in and helped the Titans. But because you're that guy doesn't necessarily make you a good starter. I'm not sure. And Jamarco Jones, really hasn't been much of a starter either. So, I still think that they give these guys a look maybe at training camp, and there's always more veteran free agents. There's some out there now that there are still possibilities. Maybe that's where the Titans turn. But I still think you've got plenty of questions about a Titans offense that needs to rebound and be better than what it was last year.
So bigger concern, offensive line or receiver. And then follow up to that, Is there any other position group on this team that you would call a concern? Because those, to me, are easily the top two.
On the entire team?
Entire team.
The only the one that comes to mind, and not from a talent standpoint, but maybe from an experience standpoint, is corner.
Yep.
You know, and again, you've got plenty of talent there. You know, Christian Fulton, Caleb Farley, Elijah Molden, Roger McCreary. Or McCready
per PK.
Yeah, that's right. You know, a great bunch of players right there. And assuming, you know, that they can kind of get seasoned in time, that should eventually become a very good group. Maybe one other, you know, when I look at inside linebacker and the depth, maybe at inside linebacker, you know, I think certainly you've got a couple of strong starters, Cunningham and David Long. Behind that, you know, maybe you'd like to see a little bit more experience depth, but not a huge concern, I don't think. So, yeah, and then if you go swing back to the offense, as we were talking about, I would have to say, to me, offensive line has to be your first concern if it's a question mark, because if you don't have that, you're not going to be able to run the ball. We all know this offense, until proven otherwise, is going to go through the run game, is going to go through Derrick Henry. So you've got to have a strong offensive line for that. And you can't have Tannehill getting sacked, you know, another 35, 40, 45 times, whatever it was last year, because that's going to hurt your passing game too. So you can have the greatest receivers and running back in the world, but if your offensive line can't pass block, can't run block, you know, you're in a difficult situation. So to me, that's the thing you have to get squared away first.
John, last thing for you on the Titans. What do you need to see from Ryan Tannehill this year to make you confident that he's the starting quarterback in 2023? Is that a statistical measure? Is it a playoff win? What comes to mind when you think about Tannehill and his future beyond this year?
It's going to be a challenging year for Ryan Tannehill. You know, he's got to bounce back. Last year was a significant step back for him. And, you know, what were the, I want to say, what, 22 and 13 was it? 22 touchdowns, 13 picks, somewhere in that neighborhood. And then you lose A.J. Brown. So it's going to be a pretty challenging for him. But I think, you know, you have to have in that ballpark of 25 to 30 TD passes, because we don't know if Derrick Henry is necessarily going to be the absolute monster that he was before the injury. You know, I'm sure everyone hopes that that's the case, but you don't know for sure. So there has to be a bump in the passing game. People have to protect Ryan Tannehill, so he'll have a little bit more time there. And certainly, yeah, it's a little bit unfair to Ryan Tannehill, but you're absolutely right when you say playoffs, Robbie, because he could go, the Titans could win 10, 11, 12 games during the regular season, and everybody's going to say, okay, we've seen this before, but what are you going to do in the playoffs? Because, you know, you go back the last few years, and certainly it has not worked well enough for Ryan Tannehill. So that will be the big litmus test for Ryan Tannehill.
John Glennon on with us here on Robbie and Rex Row. Coming up next, we'll get his thoughts on the Predators, including the Norris Trophy voting tonight. Will Roman Josi win his second Norris Trophy, and what ends up happening with Philip Forsberg and his contract situation? All that coming up next. Taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. You can go yard all June long with $5 Dinger Tuesdays on FanDuel Sportsbook. This season, all customers will get $5 for every home run hit by both teams when you place a $25 to hit a home run wager on Tuesday MLB games. And the best part about Dinger Tuesdays is even if your bet loses, FanDuel will pay you $5 for every home run. The Yankees, first team to 50 wins this year in Major League Baseball, and they're hitting the cover off the ball. I like Aaron Judge. I like Anthony Rizzo as well over on home runs. But you take it any way you want to take it. What are you waiting for? Just pick your home run hitter and turn big swings into big wins. There's no better place to bet America's pastime than on America's number one sportsbook. So head on over to your FanDuel account or download the FanDuel Sportsbook app and sign up using promo code ROB. Once again, that promo code is ROB. Must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable site credit that expires in 7 days. A max bonus of $25. Restrictions apply. See full terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Got a gambling problem? Call the Tennessee Red Line at 1-800-889-9789.
Yeah. Look who's going to get the assist. Just a play up the board. Smart heads-up play from Roman Josi to get it up to Gronlund. Man, is he fun to watch on that. He does that consistently. That little move where he buys some time, changes the angle, and then gets that pass over and through perfectly.
Roman Josi now with 85 points. With that assist, tying Paul Kariya for the single-season club record for the Predators.
Norris Trophy voting tonight in the National Hockey League. Well, the voting's already taken place. The winner announced tonight in the National Hockey League. Josi nominated alongside Victor Hedman of the Lightning and Cale Makar of the Avalanche. John Glennon in studio with us here on Robbie and Rex Road. John, do you think Roman Josi wins his second Norris Trophy tonight? It's a good thing, and I said this earlier in the show, you keep this in mind too. The playoffs don't count, because if they did, Cale Makar would run away with this award. But do you believe that Roman Josi tonight ends up with his second Norris Trophy in the past three seasons?
Yes,
we got a mute.
There we go.
I'm a newbie, a studio newbie.
Sorry, then Rex Michelle unmuted him, and then he muted himself.
Rex Road mutes four times a day. So.
Yes.
Oh, come on.
I was trying to help you, Glennon.
You're very kind to me, Michelle. I'm far behind you on the cups of coffee today. So, I think you said something very important there, Robbie, and a lot of people, you know, that don't follow closely probably don't know that the voting for these awards does come before the playoffs start. And as anybody who has watched the playoffs, and Cale Makar has been just electric, incredible on the ice. And if you were to take a vote now as to who the best defenseman of the year was, I don't think there would be any question about it. But who was the best defenseman during this past regular season? I think it's going to be a very, very close vote, is what I anticipate between Roman Josi and Cale Makar. I might give an edge. I might lean towards Roman Josi at this point, collecting his second in 3 years. When you look at the point total A that he put up, you know, best in nearly 30 years, and to me it was so interesting. As we went down the stretch, kind of watching the Preds, and every game seemingly you're seeing the milestones that he's passing, and you're talking about the Bobby Orrs, the Dennis Potvins, the Brian Leetch, et cetera. That's really when it kind of hit home to me that this is an extremely special season for Roman Josi, especially given the fact that, you know, scoring today, this season was up, but in general, scoring today, not necessarily what it was, you know, maybe 15, 20 years ago. So I think he might get the edge over Cale Makar in this Norris Trophy voting. And I will say this, too. If indeed Roman Josi gets it tonight, it will certainly be well-deserved, and he better clutch it very, very tightly. Yep. Because you get the sense that Cale Makar, who is 23 and as I said, just absolutely electric, he might have this for about the next 5 years or so. And I'm not throwing shade on Roman Josi at all, because he has certainly got a number of good years, great years left in him. But I think Roman Josi ought to grip this and very much enjoy it this year, simply because Cale Makar is kind of, to me, already at 23 years old, already looks like kind of like a once in a lifetime type defenseman.
I look forward to Avs fans being upset for a second night in a row. It's actually going to be kind of funny.
It will be.
But you could kind of tell with the momentum. Look, it's a lot of voters who, one, they just look at like point totals. So
sure,
that'll be enough. Or they kind of get caught up in the narratives. And late in the discussion of this, there was a lot of, ooh, Josi. Although I thought Makar was kind of leading the public discussion race. But I think Josi will get it. So where are you on the Preds and their plan and where things are going? And Haslam?
That seems like an open-ended, pretty vague
that's a big
question.
That's a lot.
Can we get a little more specific on that one?
I mean, I guess you could pick whatever you'd prefer to answer out of all that.
I see. Let's go to a specific on the plan, and let's talk a little Philip Forsberg. That is the question of the moment, I think, for the Predators, with, you know, free agency getting closer and closer, about 3 weeks or so away at this point, and no deal in place. I continue to believe that it is going to happen between the Predators and Forsberg. I've said this, you know, basically since the trading deadline, and you know, even though months have gone by, I still think from what I've heard on both sides, the intent that unless they're faking it well, the intent on both sides to get a deal done, and the fact that the Preds do have enough money to get a deal done. It's not like they're going to have to ask Philip Forsberg to take some kind of a hometown discount. It's just about how much that they're going to pay Philip Forsberg, and they will have to pay him. But I don't see any other way around it, honestly. If you want to remain competitive, if you want to remain a playoff team that has a chance to advance to the Cup final, you know, and I think not only do you have to sign Philip Forsberg, but you've got to make additional moves as well. And if you don't sign Philip Forsberg, it's not as if you're turning to your system and saying, okay, we've got such and such, the first round pick who has scored 100 goals in Milwaukee last year and is just itching for an opportunity. You know, Tomasino is a guy that's moving up, certainly, and may end up with a top six role next year. But again, yeah, if you don't sign Forsberg, you're going to need to sign somebody just like Forsberg. So why not get him at a similar price?
Yeah, I think that's – I mean, to me, Poile has almost backed himself into a corner here where you've got to make the deal. Like, I have no clue what Forsberg is asking for. He could be asking for $10 million a year. I have no idea what he's asking for. And I'm not saying the Predators should do that. But you've put yourself in a situation where if you don't sign him and he leaves, what's your backup plan? Like, everybody says, well, just go after Johnny Gaudreau. That's great. He's a free agent. He has to want to come here. Like, there's a lot of things.
And he's going to get a lot of money.
Turns out a few other teams might have interest in him.
Turns out there may be some people out there interested in him. So, like, I continue to believe it's going to get done. But I will say, you know, 3 weeks away now from free agency, I understand Predators fans are really, really nervous right now.
I understand that as well. But, yeah, I think you're just in that situation where again it has to get done, and I, you know, David Poile is in a tough situation in some ways now because he's going to get criticized either way. You know, if he lets Forsberg go to free agency or you know, gets maybe a couple draft picks in a trade, you know, just before the free agency begins, you know, obviously he's going to be criticized and say, hey, why didn't you do this at the trade deadline? You know, we're not getting our money's worth for you know, moving Philip Forsberg now. So there's going to be that set of criticism. And even if they sign Forsberg, certainly most people will be very happy. But are they going to be happy 5 or 6 years down the road, you know, when Philip Forsberg is that much older and potentially not putting up the same kind of numbers that he did this year or so? You know, there's going to be criticism from some people there saying, you know, it's too much of a commitment. It's too much money. It's too many years. So it's a tough position for David Poile. But the best route for my money at this point is sign your guy back up.
John Glennon on with us here on Robbie and Rex Road. So, John, you have obviously spent a lot of time around Barry Trotz. You're very familiar with Barry Trotz, and Pierre LeBrun from TSN and The Athletic reporting over the weekend that Barry Trotz is still mulling over some options for him, would like to have a decision made around July 1st, whether that involves coaching, maybe with a team like the Red Wings or the Jets, whoever is out there, or has also been in contact with the Predators about a potential management role. What do you make of that idea? The idea of Barry Trotz coming back to Nashville and joining the Predators, rejoining the Predators as a part of their management team, and what do you think that would look like? How do you think Trotz would fit in if that's the route he chooses to go?
Well, you know, I think adding Barry Trotz to this organization, any organization, is never a bad thing, just because of what we know about Barry Trotz, because of his personality, because of you know, his intelligence, his hockey smarts, his experience. You cannot go wrong by adding a Barry Trotz. I would be curious as to what role he has. You know, does he almost go into type of a pro scout analyst type of situation? Is that what they're looking for? Is it almost more of a I wouldn't think it would be more of a goodwill thing. You know, that would be waste of his considerable talents, I would think. But you know, I think In general, you cannot go wrong by adding Barry Trotz to this organization or any other, just because of what his track record has been here and because of the quality of person that Barry Trotz is.
What do you think the impact of Governor Bill Haslam eventually becoming majority owner will be?
Yeah, I think that, you know, first blush, again, we don't have too many details and we haven't heard, you know, people speak on this today. But, you know, my first thought is for the organization, I think it's a good thing. You know, anybody, in my opinion, for a franchise, a guy with considerable local ties and considerable deep pockets, I think that's a pretty good combination generally if you're a franchise. You know, and I think eventually also sort of slimming the field of owners. You know, it sounds as if, you know, Haslam won't necessarily be the guy, but it does sound certainly like he will obviously have the majority control and that maybe will be less chefs in the kitchen or less people involved in decision-making too. I think that's probably a good thing as well, that you don't have to go through that entire approval for every big decision. So, you know, I honestly don't see too many things, you know, to argue with it about at this point, assuming that Bill Haslam is not as kind of a hands-on as Brother Jimmy in Cleveland. And, you know, as I say, yeah, not as active and not as a questionable decision-making as Brother Jimmy. To me, it seems like a good call.
Baker Mayfield going to be second-line winger for the Predators going to next year?
He's looking for something at this point.
Clowney.
Oh, man. Come back full circle.
You know, come back to Nashville.
PFF would freak out. Clowney ended up on the Predators.
Pass rush. My goodness. Right.
John Glennon from SI.com, NHL.com, our guest here on Robbie and Rexro. John, great stuff as always. Thanks for coming in with us today. We appreciate it.
Okay, thanks, guys. I appreciate it.
We'll take
you continue
thoughts.
The conversation with Jared after the hour.
We're going out for lunch.
Long, arduous phone call after this. We'll continue to take your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Your reaction coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5, 106.3, The Game.